Hello, I'm Noel Davidson, servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally to the body of Christ in Dallas and Fort Worth, Texas, sent by God to the world. I have something to say to America. In 1974, God sent me to Israel. I knew nothing about Israel. I had no desire to go there. I knew it was the home of the Jewish people. I knew God gave them the land. I didn't know much of anything else about it. Amen. So, I was invited to go on a tour of Israel with Derek and Lydia Prince. I met them in 1970 and in Chicago in 1971. I went to Hollywood, Florida and managed a small animal hospital in Opa-locka, southern Florida. They lived in Fort Lauderdale. I became well acquainted with Derek and Lydia. Visited their home on Thursday afternoon many times and left South Florida in May 1972, came back to Texas. Thank God. And was living in Argyle, Texas, Denton County, this county adjacent to Collin County and Dallas County. Amen. And I was invited to go, and I thought it was right. Because a few weeks before, I was at a Kenneth Copeland meeting at Tarrant County Convention Center in Fort Worth. And I had little money, was in a great strait, being corrected by God. And God told me if I would give $50 to Kenneth Copeland's offering that day, he sent me to Israel. So, I had to obey God, gave the 50. And very shortly thereafter, I got an invitation to go to Israel in June of 1974. It was an interesting trip, to say the least. Amen. The day that I was to do the down payment, I did some work 2 or 3 days prior to that for a man. I was a veterinarian still at that time. And the check was no good. It came back. I said, I refuse. I refuse for this check to not go through the bank. I redeposited it. It went through. That encouraged me that I was going to go to Israel. I did not know why I was going, except I was going to go see Israel, I guess. 6 or so weeks passed by. Now I needed several thousand dollars to complete payment to go to Israel. And that day, that I was supposed to have paid it. I didn't have it. I knew a man named Don Bowl in Fort Lauderdale. Don was in charge of the trip to Israel. And he called me and said, "No, we don't have your money." I said, "No, I don't have it." "You don't have it?" "No." "Well, I'll just put someone else in your place." I said, "That'd be fine." That night, the man he put in my place died. The next day, Don called me and said, "Doyle, you have your money for Israel?" "No," he said, "you going to Israel?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going." "You got your money?" "No." He said, "Well, the man I put in your place yesterday died last night. So I'm going to replace him with another family." That night, one of the family members had emergency surgery. The next day, Don called me and said, "Doyle, do you have your money?" I said, "No." "You going to Israel?" "Yeah." "Well, I'm not going to pay anybody in your place." I thought, I wouldn't either. Seemed like be the wrong thing to do to me. That night, about 10 o'clock, I received a phone call. And a person called me and said, "You going to Israel?" I said, "Yes." "You have your money?" No. "How much do you need?" I wasn't going to get into dollars and cents. I said, "Well, how much have you got?" They told me. I said, "Well, are you going to give me that?" "Yes." "Well, that and what I have, well, pay for my ticket." Kathy, Patty and I, Patty's in heaven. Kathy, David said, "Buy us somewhere." She in the back? Good. Amen. So I thought we're going to Israel. I was used to having several hundred dollars to spend when I went on a trip. So I wanted to take $1,000 with us. I thought we might want to buy something. Not boasting, but that's the way I lived. And the night before I was to leave, I had 33 $1 bills. Patty, Kathy and I, everything was paid for. Sack lunch. And so that night about 10 o'clock, some people came to our house, said, "God told us to bring this money to you. It's $101 bills." Now, I had $133. They said, "What are we doing?" So we're going to Israel. The next day we flew out, flew to New York, flew to Israel. Had $133, $1 bills. We were told that everything in Israel in 1974 cost a dollar. If you wanted a Coke, it was a dollar. So just have a dollar, American dollar, no problem. I thought, well, we might drink a few Cokes. So about the third or fourth day, I told Patty and Kathy, "We can't afford to buy anything." No, got it backwards. I told them that on the plane. And about the third or fourth day, I said, "Look, God can take care of us. God will supply us some money. So whatever you want to buy, let's buy it. We did. And we left Israel, and we're getting ready to. And we left, and we still had a few dollars. So we went to London. We're on an elevator, and a man said, God told me to give you these British pounds. I said, fine. You know what I did? Gave it to Kathy Bye, and I said, take this and your young friends and go out and have dinner. Anyway, we got back to Texas. We had $8. But God had a plan. God sent me there. It wasn't to prove money. On June 16th, that was a Saturday, the Sabbath, President Nixon came into town. He was driving in the limo. Henry Kissinger was in front of him. And then we were happened to get to Jerusalem that day. This was in the afternoon. And we just happened to get, God just positioned us along this street. A little bit, we look up, here's a sharpshooter up here, one up here, rifleman. And we look up, see them, here comes this limo, about maybe 20 feet or less from us, Henry Kissinger. You can see in his car. He had them tinted windows. In a little bit, here comes another auto limo, President Nixon, riding. We can see him plain. There was a banner on Hotel, King David Hotel in Jerusalem. Nixon, man of peace. I don't recall exactly, it was August or September, President Nixon resigned. But the next morning, June 17th, President Nixon was speaking, and I was at the Garden Tomb with Pat and Kathy, and a man from Holland was speaking. The anointing of God was in my heart at the Garden Tomb, sitting under those trees on those pine benches. God started talking to me, said, Acts 1:8, I'd be a witness. You can read it yourself. After an hour, God had called me into the ministry at the Garden Tomb. At the same time, President Nixon was speaking, I think, at the Knesset in Jerusalem. I never thought a lot about it. And on Tuesday night, we were eating at the St. George Hotel, and an Arab hotel. We go in to eat. There's no empty tables or chairs in any table. But Derek and Lydia Prince sitting at this table, two empty chairs, and we looked around, we didn't see any empties. Derek said, Doyle, come here. Pat went over there and he said, would you and Patty like to sit with us? He and Lydia said, sure. Had a seat, sat down. He said, would you like to talk for about 10 minutes tonight at St. George Hotel? I said, sure. Excused myself, went up to my room and said, okay, Lord, what am I going to say? He said, what have I done for you with your family? I said, all right, I got it. Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I went and talked about it. That's what I said. Patty and Kathy had to serve the Lord because I made that decision. Amen. It's a great blessing. Amen. A great blessing. Amen. When I got through speaking, the man named Zawitski, a lawyer from Auckland, New Zealand, came up, spoke to me, said he was a lawyer. He'd presented cases to jurors, many of them, and heard many presented, but he never heard anything so concise and direct in his life. I said, thank you. Never thought much about it over the years. I think it's got to be significant. It's got to be significant that I was in Jerusalem when God anointed me to preach the gospel to the world. The same time that President Nixon was there, and I think less than 2 months, he resigned from office. I will tell you, President Nixon resigned and Gerald Ford, a congressman from Michigan, became president of the United States, and no one voted for him. No one voted for him. And then a short period of time, the American people rejected the man that God gave to be president of the United States. And no one voted for him but God. That was an amazing time. And I was there. And not only there, but anointed to preach the gospel to the world. Pretty remarkable, huh? Amen. God ordained me to preach this gospel to the world. Today, we're at a period of time where it's very possible that another man could become president of the United States and not be elected president. That'd be just like Gerald Ford. What time is it?
We have 37 minutes left.
37?
Yeah.
Let's read this 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 6.
Chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemy. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself.
Did you get that? If any man teach not, the words that's in this Bible and consents not to the wholesome words of Jesus Christ, he knows nothing. He knows nothing. He is proud. He is proud. And if he teaches gain is godliness, if he teaches gain is godliness, what does that say?
It says he is proud knowing nothing.
Oh, yeah. If he preaches that gain is godliness, he's proud and knowing nothing. Right?
Right.
What's the name?
From such, withdraw thyself.
From such, withdraw thyself. In the 1970s, when I entered into the charismatic movement, there was a big drive to get people to believe that gain was godliness. There was talk from some of the people in the charismatic movement that when they sat down talking with Jewish people and they had, the Americans, the charismatics, had a lot of money, they would impress the Jews and they'd be converted. No, the Jews know more about the Bible than the charismatics ever thought about knowing. I've been to Israel 74, 84, and then 07. I have a lot of respect for the Jewish people. I have no respect for the charismatics. Amen. So, let's continue on reading.
Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain.
Godliness with contentment. That word is sufficiency. Sufficiency. Godly with sufficiency is what? Great gain?
Great gain.
That's the way I live. I haven't passed a plate for an offering since 1990. Six, a month of June. Certainly haven't. And never have asked for money and have never told anyone what I needed. Could we move on?
Right, verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some...
You get that? Love of money, the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Every evil thing you do, it's rooted in the love of money. And you will have to be delivered from the love of money before you will be able to be delivered from your evil ways. Let's go.
Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Coveted after money, erred from the faith, pierced yourself through with many sorrows. You haven't had them yet, they're on their way.
11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, but trust in uncertain, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Last verse, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen.